The strength Vanessa Bryant just showed is remarkable. Hashtag Kobe farewell.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today we are recapping Monday's games. Lots of interesting performances for us to talk about there and then previewing Tuesday's action. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Let's start with the first game of the night. A couple of overtime games to kick things off. The Miami Heat go down to the Cleveland Cavaliers 125-119. These teams matched up on the weekend and it was a big win for Miami in that one. But Cleveland gets the overtime victory. Let's start with Miami. They were without Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, and Myers Leonard again. So Kendrick Nunn saw his minutes jump up. 34 minutes, 21 points, 4 assists, shot the ball often, shot the ball well. That's great. He just doesn't have those opportunities when Butler and then Hero return, making him a stream guy. Derek Jones Jr., 10-7 for him in his 37 minutes with 2 blocks, but of course minutes up with no Jimmy there. While Bam Adebayo, 22-13-9, 3 steals and 4 blocks. That's an absolutely massive performance from Bam. Andre Iguodala had 4 blocks. That's cool. He just doesn't do enough to really be reliable outside of very, very deep leagues. While Jay Crowder also played a lot of minutes.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
He shot horribly, 36 from the field, 40 from the line, had 16, 9, and 3, again, benefiting from that extra playing time without Butler around. I don't see him as a must-roster 12. He does have streaming value, as long as you don't care about your field goal percentage, but otherwise, he's probably more of a 14-team league player. While the Spurs Dunk Robinson, he does what he does, 15 points, 5 triples, all in the first quarter, I believe, and then he sort of went missing after that. For Cleveland, that's where the real interest lies. Let's start with the good, because Kevin Porter, I'm pretty sure I talked about this on yesterday's show ad nauseum, saying the last two games, the minutes were low because of fouls and because of an ejection. Well, he played 41 minutes. He had 30 points, 4 triples, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals, and I don't think he should be on any waiver wire. He shot well from the field. He shot well from the line, and it won't be this good every night, pretty clearly, but he's the guy they need to be developing over Alphonso McKinney. Dante Exum hurt his ankle again, over Chetty Osman. Porter's a guy for 12-team leagues. Kevin Love, 38 minutes after resting yesterday, 17-14 with 4 assists and 2 blocks as well. It's really going to be tough to roster Love. There's going to be big nights and then there's going to be poor performances due to rest slash Achilles soreness, but when he plays, it's good. And they also went with a 3-big lineup with Love, with Thompson, and with Larry Nance at the 3. Now, Nance ended up with 32 minutes for 16-8 with 2 steals, and they're finding a way to get him minutes, as they should, because he is, you know, pretty good. So at those sort of minutes and that sort of lineup, that does make him worthy of a 12-team roster spot. The big avocado, it's looking pretty grim for Andre Drummond. He doesn't give a shit. He hates the team. The team hates him already. It seems pretty clear. That's me supposing, but it seems pretty obvious. 24 minutes, didn't play in the fourth quarter, didn't play in overtime. It wasn't a blowout. It wasn't that the bench was rolling at a huge rate that he had to get back. They had to get them out there. He just stinks at this point. 13-6 in 24 minutes, and while he isn't a drop, I think if you get any sort of top 50 guy back in a trade offer, I would do it. I don't look at him as a massive buy low guy. They're splitting the minutes with him and Tristan Thompson, who again closed the game over him. Now, Drummond had 24 minutes in 3 quarters, which was looking all right, but then he just doesn't play down the stretch. Thompson's providing that value now for 14-teamers, 15-9 in 29 minutes. The Padawan Colin Sexton was rough, 13-2-3, while Garland had 14-5-7 with 2 steals. That's very encouraging from Garlo. Now, I would have Porter over him, but I still think that Darius can be a 12-team league guy as we move forward. When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Indeed they are. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your short list of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job post so that you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/lockedon and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/lockedon. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31, 2020. Let's go on now to the next game. Another overtime performance here. The Milwaukee Bucks get over the Washington Wizards, 137-134. Obviously, a huge high-scoring game. Yanni Antetokounmpo fouled out after 25 minutes, 22-14. I tweeted this out today. I'm going to put it out into this media sphere as well. I don't think foul out should be a thing. I don't know why we have them as a thing. Why do we want situations where players get disqualified from the game for committing too many fouls or have to have their minutes limited from committing too many fouls? It doesn't happen in the NFL. If a left tackle gets three holding penalties, doesn't have to sit out the rest of the game. If a cornerback has two pass interferences, they say, oh, you're done for the game. Like, two face masks, see you later. That's not how any of this works. It doesn't work in Australian football. You've given away three pushing the back free kicks, you're going to have to sit out the rest of the game now. Even in soccer, if you've had 10 fouls, you don't automatically get red carded. If they're just egregious and you don't heed the warnings, then you can get that. But there's no like, okay, three fouls, you're off. There can be a penalty. You get to the sixth foul and then it's automatic free throws, or they take three free throws instead of two free throws because you don't want blokes just hacking every single play. But I also don't think that players should be just taken out of the game completely because of fouls. Anyway, that's my rant on that. Chris Middleton, 40 points in 41 minutes, 5 rebounds, 5 assists and 3 steals, really took over when Yanni was out, while Bledsoe has been unbelievable down the stretch here, 23-7-10. Robin Lopez, the spot start for his brother Brooke, 11 points, 3 triples. Robin Lopez hit 3 threes. That's where we're at in the NBA at the moment. 3 threes and 3 blocks. For Lopez, while the big ragu Dante DiVincenzo played 29 minutes, back to some really good numbers, 12-10 with 2 threes, but he's more of a 14-team leaguer or a streamer. 22 minutes for Marvin Williams and 16 minutes for Ilyasova with Brook Lopez out there as well. And how those guys work in terms of those backup rotation minutes when everyone's healthy is something we're going to have to watch, especially for those of you, or exclusively for those of you in deep leagues. For the Wizards, Brad Beal, a second consecutive 50-point game. Now, I posited on yesterday's podcast he'd played so many minutes and scored so many points, and this was going to be a blowout that he'd probably see limited minutes. Well, I was obviously wrong on that. 55 points in 41 minutes, 8 triples and 3 assists. Huge game from Beal. While interesting comments from Scott Brooks before the game. He said that he wants to get Ish Smith back into the bench unit. I really like how he works in the second unit. It's because he's worse than Shabazz Napier, but you frame it whoever you want, Scotty. And Smith played only 26 minutes. Napier played 36. This is sort of what I thought at the trade deadline, that Napier's the better player, he's the better point guard, and he's going to get these minutes. Well, it happened. 27-4-7 for Shabazz, 2 steals, 3 threes. I'm absolutely no worries about adding him in 12-team leagues. I don't think it's going to be this sort of minutes moving forward. It's probably going to be a 27-25 sort of a situation. They play together occasionally. But that's enough for Shabazz when he was only getting 20 before. Tom Bryant, which is one I did predict correctly yesterday. He was resting, and Davis Bertans also had a sore knee. The Wizards just don't care about Troy Brown, it appears. 4 points in 21 minutes. They are deprioritizing him. He is not a 12-team or even a 14-team league guy. While Rui Hachimura, yeah, not great. 12-4-2, 46 minutes. You need to do more than that in those minutes. He is a 14-teamer rather than a 12. Flaming Mo Wagner. Eight and 10 for Wagner, but that was with Bryant and Bertans out. While Smith, I should have touched on him already, 13-2-7 with 2 steals, and that's fine. Like, if you got him in a 12-team league, I would be inclined to make the switch to Napier, but Smith can still be a hold if he's going to play that many minutes and have that sort of a role that he did in this game. Let's move on now to the next one. We're looking at the Atlanta Hawks, who were up over the Sixers at one point. And then we get the Sixers get the win, 129-112 in the end here. There was Trae Young, another big one, 28-7-10. The Baptist Johnny Collins had 21-9, and DeAndre Hunter returned from personal absence for 22-7. Big game from Hunter. He took a lot of shots there. I still don't look at him as a must-roster 12-team league guy, but he is on the fringes, and if he's on a 12-team league roster, it's not the end of the world. Vanderpants, Kevin Huerter struggled. His shot is way off, 9-5-4. I don't think he's a must-hold 10-team league player. While The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, absolute extreme foul trouble, 5 fouls in 14 minutes, 5 points. He is still a 12-team hold. Jeff Teague is not. While Cam Reddish had some hamstring issues earlier in the game, that kept him down to 22 minutes, and he'd been playing quite well. His game is predicated on steals and threes, so if that's what you're looking for, that's what he can give you. The other stuff sort of comes and goes, and if you did add him, I think he's okay as a hold. More for 14s, but definitely still can be a 12-team league hold. The hamstring did limit what Reddish was able to do in this game. For the Sixers, there was no Ben Simmons, and it looks like we're bracing for a pretty long absence for Simmons, unfortunately. And then yesterday, Tobias Harris was doubtful. He was upgraded to questionable, and then he played. And then he said after the game, my knee's at 70%. It's feeling pretty sore. That is an absolutely huge recipe for disaster. But Harris put up good numbers, 25-6-4, while Joel Embiid was massive, 49-14 with three steals and a block. Furky from Turkey, he had a good game, 15 points in 31 minutes as they moved Glenn Robinson III back to the bench and Al Horford went back into the starting lineup. And it looks like Horford might stick there while Simmons is out. 7-8-5 for Horf. He's still not necessarily a 10-team hold, but he is a 12-team option for me. Richardson, poor from him, 13-6-3, while Shake Milton, absolutely worth a look in a 14-teamer. 7-5-6 in those 26 minutes. Now, there's no guarantee he's going to get those minutes every night because Burks played only 16, Thibault played only 11, Robinson played only 14, and all those guys could get extra playing time in the games moving forward. But this was solid enough from Milton to at least be a 14-16 team league option. As for Furky, he had 15-6 in his 31 minutes. We know he's not reliable. He's just that three-point streamer type of guy that we can look at occasionally to provide value for our teams. Let's go on to the next game now, the Brooklyn Nets and the Orlando Magic. The Magic get the win after being down big early, 115-113 on the road. Aaron Gordon, 27-10-4, one steal, two blocks, 69% shooting.
Giggity!
Really good stuff from Gordo, who has been pretty strong over the last couple of games. 106th ranked player still over his last 20, so it hasn't been a full turnaround from Gordon, but I'm happy to add him off a 12-team waiver wire. Nikola Vucevic, 16-10, while Jimmy Ennis, 27 minutes. The minutes continue to push up for Ennis as he is the starter now. 13-4, which is all right. At least he pushes him into 16-team league discussion, while Wes Iwundu and Ken Birch both out of the rotation. Not a great night for Fultz, 5-3-7, but I still think he is a 12-team league hold. And then you got Terry Ross, who went off for 21-8 with four triples in 28 minutes. That's just what he does. We know he's a points and threes option. Nothing really changes there with him. Back-to-back good games from Jarrett Allen, 16-11 with two blocks on a perfect 8-of-8 shooting, but still the minutes are always capped by DeAndre Jordan, who played 22 here. Allen I would still have in 12s, maybe not a must roster for 10-teamers. Well, Garrett Temple with another strong game, 18-2-5, love him for 14-teamers, and I don't mind the stream value in 12s. Dinwiddie, at least he didn't shoot horribly, 24-8, while LeVert did, 19 points on 38%, with 8 assists and 5 rebounds. The counting stats are still pretty good for Karras with Kyrie out, while Prince and Harris, they are not must roster 12-team league guys. They're fine for 12-team leagues, but they are not must roster guys that if you see them on the waiver wire, you have to go, whoa, the bloody hell's Harris there, because he's not that good. He can provide value in certain situations, but not for everybody. Let us move on to the next game, the New York Knicks and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets get the win in the end, 123-112. The Knicks were without Alfred Payton and Frank Ntilikina, so Dennis Smith Jr. started, and wow, 15-7-5 with seven steals for Smitty. These are the sort of things outside of the seven steals that I thought maybe we'd get more often from Smith as he developed in his third season. It's been lost this year. He's been the third point guard all season. He's still the third point guard. I'm not sure if this changes anything, but let's see what happens with Payton and Ntilikina, whether he can get some opportunities. But I'm not rushing to grab him. And how about your mate, my mate, our bloke, Mitchie Robinson?
Mitch Robinson says, I'll take it from here.
He played 26 minutes. He had 10-8. He had two steals. He had five blocks. It's been annoying, but he is still, as I've stressed a million times, he is still a top 100 player, despite the nonsense that has happened this season. Mike Miller also made a weird change to the starting lineup. Reggie Bullock went to the bench and Mo Harkless started. Harkless had two blocks and a steal. That's what he's good for, being a triple one sort of a player as a streaming option, but obviously not much more than that. While Rowan Barrett had 21-6, and again, just brutal from the line, 3-of-7 there, continues to really, really hurt you in that category. We got 25 minutes from Punch Bob and only 28 from Julius Randle, 12-8 for Porter, 17-12 for Randle. Kevin Knox, speaking of guys out of the organization's plans, 12 minutes for Knox. I know he's terrible, but 12 minutes, that is rough. For the Rockets, Russell Westbrook, it was announced he was coming off the bench, but he was going to be active. And then they said that he is not playing at all. So he was out with thumb soreness. So Jimmy Harden came into the arena an hour before the game after attending the Kobe Bryant Memorial, had 37, 6 and 9 with two steals. Bob Covington, another multi-block game. That is three-plus blocks in four consecutive games for Covington. 11 and 7 with three threes and four blocks, while Dan House had 10, 5 and 4, and Eric Gordon 16 points in 28 minutes before he had to leave with knee soreness. Gordon is a points streamer. House is a 14-team league guy. We got 17 out of Benny McLemore. We got 14 out of Austin Rivers, but all of that can be tied to the fact that Westbrook was out. PJ Tucker only the 25 minutes here, and that meant we got 14 Damari Carroll minutes, 10 minutes of Thabo Sefolosha. Tucker was also at that memorial and checked in late to the game. While Jeff Green did what he needs to do, and in deeper leagues there is some value, I'm pretty confident that they will sign him to a rest of season contract. All right, on to the next game. We had the Dallas Mavericks. They beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 139-123 at home. D'Angelo Russell returned 29-3-5 in 31 minutes. A pretty standard big game from him. While Jimmy Johnson, did he make us proud? Yeah, he did. 24 minutes, 19 and 5, 1 assist, 1 3, 2 blocks. I think he's a fringe 12-team league guy at this point. Naz Reid can't stay out of foul trouble, but still managed 27 minutes, 6 and 5 with 3 blocks. Now, shot horribly, and that's a real issue with him. He is a guy to roster for sure for now, but when Towns is back, he's just not going to have that value. But for now, he's a guy to roster if he can stay out of foul trouble. Beasley had 21 and 4 with 5 triples, not all that efficient from him. While with D'Angelo Russell back, Jordan McLaughlin moved to the bench, had 5 points. Jarrett Culver, 13 and 6 in his 22 minutes. Yeah, a little bit better, but still nothing to write home about. While Wancho had 8 and 4 in 25 minutes. I think these last couple of games from Hernan Gomez are more realistic expectations of what he can do. He's a 14 to 16 team league guy rather than a must roster 12 team league guy, which that first game would have indicated maybe he was. Jake Layman finally returned with that toe injury, which has cost him about a million games. 5 points in his 13 minutes. At least a name to watch for deeper leagues. He can be productive, but not someone that's going to really trouble the scorers too much in standard formats. Well, Keelan Martin, another good game, 11, 6, and 4, a really strong deeper league player with how he is performing at the moment. Doncic was back for the Mavericks, only played 25 minutes, 29 and 7 with two steals, while Kristaps Porzingis only the 25 as well.
Porzingis.
This was a blowout, 15 and 9 in 25 there. Finney Smith had 8 points. Timmy Hardaway continued his strong run. He's fine as a 12-team league guy for those points and threes, while Seth Curry had 19 points with 5 triples. Similarly, Seth can be a 12-team league player. With Jalen Brunson out, 22 minutes for JJ Barea, 12, 3, and 8. Now, his ability to generate a lot of assists in limited minutes is really, really good. And if you need assists, he can be a very, very interesting streamer all the way up to 12-team formats. Now, he's not going to be for everybody, but he can get 5 assists a game in 20 minutes. He can definitely do that, and that's something to watch. Maxi Kleber played 21 minutes. We had we even got 19 minutes of Courtney Lee in a game that wasn't against the Wizards. So that's how much of a blowout this game was for the Mavericks over the Minnesota Timberwolves. All right, the next game we take a look at, the Phoenix Suns with a huge, huge win on the road over the Jazz, 131-111. They smacked them. Ravishing Rick Rubio. Let's play the song. The second player of the day with 7 steals, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, 7 steals. Guys, revenge games are real. Obviously, Rubio, huge game against his former team. Devin Booker was great as well. Now, in all seriousness with Rubio, it looked like he just needed to rest his ankle because he had that all-star break off and has been awesome ever since returning. 22-4-10 for Booker. Ayton only played the 21 minutes, had some foul trouble, but it didn't matter in the end. 16-5, while Oubre, the shot finally went down, 18-3-2. Not a great night from McCall Bridges, who, again, remains a steals streamer. He had 8-3, but unfortunately, no defensive numbers. If you don't need defensive numbers, he's not really providing what you need. But a really strong game from the Suns in general. For the Utah Jazz, Donovan Mitchell.
He's done. He's good.
He was massive. 38 points with 6 triples, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists. While Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm. Not Gobert's best game. 13-8 with a steal and a block, but it's still pretty serviceable. He is a little bit down since coming back from the All-Star break. Hopefully that picks back up. It was a shit one from Mike Conley. 8 points in 22 minutes. They pulled the pin on him pretty early. I'm still holding him in 12-team formats. Well, Ingles, I'm not. 9 points, four assists. He's an assists streamer, maybe along the lines of a JJ Barea. Definitely more of a 14-team league guy. Jordan Clarkson, that hot streak did not continue. 14 points in 25 minutes. Well, not much else to really ride home about here for the Utah Jazz in what was a very disappointing loss. All right, now on to the last game of the night. This was pretty uncompetitive, I would say, as the Memphis Grizzlies go down here to the Clippers, 124-97. Brandon Clark got the start in place of Jaren Jackson Jr. 3 minutes into the game, he has to leave and never returns with hip soreness. If you did add Clark, I think just hold, but the guy we go and grab now is Gorgui Dieng. He played 28 minutes. He had 14-10 with four blocks. In 28 minutes a night, Dieng is a must-roster player, so add him and let's just see what happens, how this all works out. Otherwise, it's really hard to get too much of a read on a game that was a blowout from the very first couple of minutes. Ja Morant struggled again. He still is a buy low player. Dylan Brooks is he's just not good. I changed my mind and said maybe he is okay. No, he's not. He's good. He's bad. He's bad again. He is a drop in 10s and 12 team leagues to me. Well, the box score darling, John Conchar, a bloke that I talked about quite a bit in Summer League and rookie dynasty rankings, we haven't really seen, but 8-7-4, one block in 18 minutes. If he plays, he's going to put up numbers, and I think there's a chance he plays in the next game for the Grizzlies. He is a guy to watch for deep leagues as a stream. Just a name to watch there. Valanciunas had 5-7. He has really dropped off after the last couple of games, or over the last couple of games. For the Clippers, Paul George returned, only 21 minutes necessary there. He was shit, though. 7 points on 27% shooting, and he has been rough his last couple of games. He is a buy low. The fun guy, Kawhi Leonard, had 25-8, while, again, just minutes all over the place. 23 for Jermichael Green, only 20 for the table, Montrezl Harrell, 22 for Reggie Jackson, 24 for Marcus Morris. Morris and Jackson are pretty clear drops to me in 12-team leagues, but this game was really uncompetitive very, very early on. Let's have a look now at some news across the league. Jeremy Lamb, knee injury. They said he stayed in, took the free throws. Oh, knee soreness, won't return. Well, a torn meniscus, a torn ACL, and a leg fracture. Cool. That's a little bit more than knee soreness. Pretty ballsy for him to stay out there on the court, but he is done for the season. Aaron Holiday will just likely take his 24 minutes a night, and that's going to make him more of a stream option, not a must-roster 12-team league guy. I don't think Justin Holiday anything more than a steal streamer either. Andy Wiggins was on the injury report, and then he was taken off the injury report, so we'll see what happens there. Well, Draymond Green and Marquise Chris remain questionable for the Golden State Warriors. While it doesn't look good for Ben Simmons, I would expect weeks absence here with this back injury. We still don't know exactly what it is, but it looks like he's going to be out for a while. Shake Milton we saw get the start today. You get Furkan Korkmaz who got an increased role. Yeah, Milton and Burks are still probably the guys that I prefer as flyers, but they're not must roster players. Jalen Brunson is going to miss another 4 games. That's going to give that JJ Barea assist stream some value there as well. While Russell Westbrook missed today's game with a thumb injury, it's not considered serious, nor with Eric Gordon. Dante Exum sprained his ankle, Clark with his hip, and then Kenny Wooten, who I thought could have an opportunity to get some minutes for the Knicks, had thumb surgery for a torn ligament, and he's going to be out a minimum of 6 weeks, which is basically the entire season. So his value, whatever it was, however small it was, is pretty much non-existent now. Let's now flick on some DFS numbers. We're going to be looking at FanDuel pricing for the games for Tuesday. All right, the first game we look at, the Charlotte Hornets and the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers, big favorites here, 11 points. The total, 208.5. Of course, there is no Jeremy Lamb for Indiana, while Victor Oladipo is questionable, as is Edmund Sumner. If Oladipo is out, that's going to really boost Aaron Holiday, Justin Holiday, and TJ McConnell. At point guard, Rozier's at 5,000. He's been pretty bad lately. I like that value at that drop salary, but he has been performing poorly. While Brogdon's at 6,100, I'd probably pass on him. McConnell at 3,500 is doing absolutely nothing. There could be an opportunity for mid to high 20s minutes, and that would at least give him some tournament appeal. Aaron Holiday, again, at 3,700 could really boost up, especially if Oladipo is sidelined. He had 27 points last game with Vic out. That really is an interesting play to me. At shooting guard, Oladipo's at 4,800. Rightfully so. He's been shitful. But if you want to take a flyer, I personally wouldn't. But if you want to take a flyer, he's worth a look, at least in terms of price-wise. Devontae Graham has also been pretty trash lately. He's at 5,900, but I feel all right about him as a tournament-only guy. While Malik Monk has been he's been the most consistent of those Charlotte guards. And he's only at 5,100. I think he can get you 25 relatively comfortably. I just think we might find better options out on the slate. At small forward, Justin Holliday at 38. Yeah, not a real great option to me. While Tony Warren's at 5,900. Feels good for cash. Not sure about his upside, despite an absolute stinker from him last time in Toronto, where he had just the 13 points. Miles Bridges, I also like his consistency at the moment. $6,000. He's giving us 30 a night. You can't really ask for much more than that. The matchup's a tough one, so if you've got other options, maybe go with them. But Bridges has been good. At power forward, Sabonis is at 8,300. He feels more like a $7,500 guy to me, so that means that I'd probably want to look in a different direction, while Paul Washington Jr. is at 49. His last games out of the All-Star break have been good. I don't mind him for cash. I'm a bit worried about the upside, though. At center, Miles Turner's at 5,800, and zero confidence in that, despite it being a good matchup. Cody Zeller, no thank you, and Bismack Biyombo, who has retaken over the backup role for the Hornets over Willie Hernangómez. Billy Hernangómez, my apologies. And that's a lot of words to say that Bismack Biyombo is not someone to care about. I'm sure he's a good bloke, though. Next up, we have a look at the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors. The Bucks are 1.5-point favorites here in this one, on the road, in a back-to-back, after overtime. That looks like a really dicey line. To be honest, the total is 231. I imagine Brook Lopez returns here for Milwaukee, while Norm Powell and Marc Gasol are out for Toronto, and Pat McCaw is questionable. At point guard, Eric Bledsoe's at 5,800. He's been routinely beating that number. Now, the matchup and the back-to-back probably leads him to be a bit more fadey, while Lowry's at 7,600, who has been playing at an exceptionally good level. I like Lowry more than Bledsoe here. Georgie Hill, no thanks. Shooting guard, Middleton, 7,200. Absolutely unbelievable he has been this season, so I like him at that price quite a bit, while Van Vliet at 63 has not been performing to that level, but he's worth a look at a salary, which is quite depressed. Big Ragu, no thanks. Terrence Davis has been playing well, but not for DFS. Wes Matthews is not playing well at all. At small forward, the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
He's at 4,400. I don't care for that one. While Siakam's at 8,000. That's probably a little bit high against one of the best, or the best defense in the NBA. So I probably wouldn't use him. Antetokounmpo's at 11,600. I think he gets 60 pretty comfortably here against Toronto. They'll have to play him more than the 24 minutes that he played on Monday. And I guess that's the benefit of him fouling out in that game against Washington, is that they can get him some more playing time in this one. At power forward, Barker's at 66. I like him for a 30-point plus performance here. Hollis Jefferson is a no, while the water boy, Marvin Williams, and Ersan Ilyasova aren't going to do it. Brook Lopez is at 53. Without Marc Gasol there, I like it a little bit, but they're still pretty good at defending center, so I'd end up probably fading Brook. Robin Lopez, that's if Brook actually plays. If Brook is out, then Lopez at 3,500, his brother, would be a really strong option at that minimum salary price tag. Let's go to the next game. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Chicago Bulls. Wendell Carter Jr. has been upgraded to questionable. The Hammer Denzel Valentine is doubtful. Larry Markkanen is out. Otto Porter is out for Chicago. If Carter plays, he won't be on full minutes, but he is an interesting guy, which we'll talk about in a second. At point guard, Kobe White has been on fire. He's at 5,200. I get the feeling he might be a little bit heavy, in that people are going to go really high on him because he's dropped big games recently. The salary's jumped up, but it hasn't been a huge jump. But tied in with the salary jump, everyone being wise to the Kobe White name and the exceptional point guard defense that the Thunder provide, he's a little bit risky in this one. But at 5,200, it's not completely outrageous. Chris Paul at 74, I love that, while Satoransky is at 55 and he is unreliable. Archer Jackano will likely start at small forward again, and I will likely not care. At shooting guard, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is at $7,000. I love that against the Bulls. He should be a 35-pointer relatively comfortably, so I like Shai there. Zach LaVine at 89, that's a big price for LaVine in a matchup which is pretty tough for guards. I'd probably end up fading off of Zach in this one, while Schroeder's at 56, and I feel like that's good cash value, albeit limited upside. Unless you just really care about losing, Adam Akoka could be someone that gets minutes. Lugans Dort, 3,800. Terrence Ferguson not on the injury report, so he should be ready to go. It's really hard to expect Dort to reproduce what he did last game. At small forward, the Italian cock, Danilo Gallinari.
Hands off my cock!
He's at 5,700. Has been a little bit disappointing, but this is a great opportunity for him to smash that number. I like him a lot in this one. And then for your power forward, you've got Dan Gafford's at 38. Can't stay out of foul trouble. Carter could be returning. A little bit hard to get excited about him. Noel at 42, not the guy I'm really all that keen on. Well, Thad Young has been playing well, but a $6,000 price tag for Young is probably on the high end. Well, I know it's on the high end. Not something that I can get overly excited about. At center, Steve Adams at 65. Centers against the Bulls go big. He's in form at the moment. He's worth at least a tournament look. Well, Wendell Carter, I teased it earlier, he's a minimum salary player. And if he plays and plays 24 minutes, he could very easily get 20 points, which is enough at that minimum salary to absolutely be a worthwhile option for you. Let's move on now to the next game. We're looking at the Detroit Pistons and the Denver Nuggets. Will Dwayne Casey, your mate, will he bring Christian Wood off the bench again? I think he probably will. Something needs to change. That starting lineup is one of the worst in the NBA. The Shark, Bruce Brown, has appeared on the injury report. Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do. He is questionable with a knee injury. If he is out, that's going to boost Svi Mykhailiu quite a bit. But Kyrie Thomas, a guy that we just really haven't seen at all over his first two seasons, he could have an opportunity. He's been upgraded to probable. He's not going to be someone we care for here, though. Derek Rose is doing nothing. He's at 4,900. I would not feel good about using him. While the Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, 7,200, probably a bit on the high side for me there with Murray. Monty Morris had 34 points in 31 minutes last game for Denver. Can he play that much again? I have my doubts, but yeah, he's been at least someone to keep in the back of your mind. The Sharks at 4,600, I don't really care for him here, while Gaz Harris at 4,000. Nice, Gary! I just can't see how we can get excited there. While McKay Luke's at minimum salary, only a tournament guy if we hear Brown is out. Tony Snell's doing his best Tony Snell impression, putting up 9 points in 25 minutes as it starts absolutely pissing down here. Did not expect that to happen. Apologies for the rain. And then on to the small forwards, Farton, Will Barton, 5,700. I really like that price there for Barton. For your power forwards, Millsaps at 53. It looks like a strong cash option to me with some tournament value, but strong for cash. While the Crucifix, Christian Woods at 7,300. I don't really care if he comes off the bench. He should beat that number and beat it pretty comfortably. Not interested in Siku at minimum salary, while Jeremy Grant is doing nothing with the return of Millsaps. Same with Michael Porter. At center, Big Chungus, Nikola Jokic, 10,600. He should be good for 50 here in one of the best matchups for center. While Thon McCare on the other side, I don't really see how we can get interested in him at 4,500. He has been struggling a little bit of late. All right, that crazy rainstorm has passed, so let's move on now to the next game. We're looking at the Pelicans going to the Lakers to take on Anthony Davis and LeBron James. The Lakers are favored by 8 points here in this one, and the total is 238.5, which is an absolute monster of a total. Of course, Anthony Davis is probable on the injury report. At point guard, Lonzo Ball against his former team, I think you're expecting 30-plus from him almost every night he's out there, so at 6,500, that looks pretty good to me. Rajon Rondo and Alex Caruso, that's the opposite of good. At shooting guard, Danny Green, no thank you at all. While Josh Hart, KCP, Avery Bradley, JJ Redick, all guys I don't really care for DFS. Drew Holiday is the interesting one. Big price, 8,300. And shooting guards have been in a tough spot against the Lakers a lot of this season. So despite how well he's been playing, at that sort of a salary, it might be a little bit of a fade-off situation. LeBron's at 10-2. LeBron James. You got to look at him as a 50-point guy every night, so that looks pretty good to me. While Ingram at 7,500 has not been quite at that level since returning from the All-Star break. Maybe look at him as a tournament guy only. At power forward, the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, that's a no. While Anthony Davis is at 10-6, you feel good about him getting close to 60 here. Absolutely love Davis in this one. While Zion's at 75, and I think he gets that 35 to 40-point mark comfortably as well. Both of those guys are in play. JaVale's at 35 as a center, no thanks. Dwight's at 42, no thanks. They might play Derek Favors a little bit more just to match up against these big men instead of Nicole or Melly, but I still wouldn't feel comfortable about spending 5,100 on Favors. While Melly, who had almost 30 points last game at 4,100, is really, to me, just a tournament guy. The next game we take a look at here, we've got the Boston Celtics and the Portland Trail Blazers. Kemba Walker out again for Boston. At point guard, Brad Wanamaker's at 30, or no, Damian Lillard as well. Brad Wanamaker's at 3,600, no interest in that. Anthony Simons at 42, similarly. Shooting guards, we're looking at shooting guards masquerading as point guards here. Marcus Smart, 5,300, absolutely love that for Smart. While Gaz Trent's at 46, probably more for tournaments than anything. While McCollum at 85, that's a big salary hike, but he's been unbelievable. I really like him at that salary despite the Boston defense. At small forward, Jaylen's at 6,200. Love it. Gordon Hayward's at 66, sorry. Love it as well. Ariza's at 46. No thanks. While Mallow at 58, probably a little bit high after last game's eruption from Carmelo Anthony. For your power forwards, Jason Tatum's at 88. He's averaging almost 50 points over the last five. That is a high salary for Tatum, but the matchup is great. I think he beats that number. I think he's a good option here. While Vanilla Tice at 5,000, getting a ton of minutes. I think he can be a 30-point guy pretty easily. I like all those guys. There's a ton of Celtics guys that I do like in this matchup. for your big man, Hassan Whiteside.
The world.
He's up at 9,600. That's probably pushing a little bit too high for me for Whiteside. We can get better center options than that in there. Enes Kanter is not one of those better options. Let's move on to the next game, the last game of the night, the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. It was announced that Andrew Wiggins was questionable for this game, but then he's not on the injury report. Both Draymond Green and Marquese Chris are. They are both questionable, while Rashawn Holmes and Marvin Bagley are out again for Sacramento. At point guard, Fox is at 7,800, a perfect matchup. He should be approaching 40 here. I like Fox quite a bit. Corey Joseph and Kai Bowman, or Bowman at 41. If Draymond's out, I think Bowman at 41 looks pretty good. At shooting guard, Jordan Poole's at 48. Yeah, worth a look for me. Bud Heald's at 50. Really hard to gauge what's going to happen with him, but the matchup is so good that you have to look at him as a tournament player. Same with Bogdan Bogdanovic, but I would not want to use them together in the one lineup. While Damo Lee at 55, especially if Wiggins does happen to be out last minute, then Lee at 55 would look pretty good. For your small forwards, Wiggins is at 78. Even in the games where he had a bad one, like last time out, we're still pretty good in terms of fantasy scoring. At 78, I do like him here. The pencil, Harrison Barnes. Barnesy. He's at 5,000 against his former team. I actually think he can get a 25-pointer here, and that's not a bad option here for him. While Juan Toscano-Anderson playing well, $4,000. If Draymond's out, I like Toscano-Anderson quite a bit. He had 38 in 28 minutes last game. He's racking up steals. He's scoring. He is absolutely an option, but more so if Draymond is out. While Bazemore's playing pretty well also, 4,900. He had 47 last game. Again, worth at least a GPP look. At power forward, Harry Giles should start at center. I love him at $4,000. Great value there. The triangle, Eric Paschal's at 45. I don't really care for that. Maybe if Draymond's out, but even then, not super interested. Don't want to use Draymond. Bielitsa at 53. The value is okay for cash. Not sure about tournaments, though. And then for center, Marquese Chris has been disappointing. Last couple, I'm out. Len, I'm out. Looney, not caring for that one either. Let's now just have a look at how things may transpire on FanDuel. I like Giles and Ibaka. Miles Turner, much better option on FanDuel. Fox and Gallinari, Jokic, Van Vliet, Rozier, Ingram, Middleton, White, Kobe White, and Paul Millsap, looking at some good FanDuel options over there. Guys, that'll do me for today's show. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Leave a comment down below. Give it a thumbs up. Subscribe, rate, review, all of those good things, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Carl Anthony Towns.